What keeps you going? Where do you get your motivation? Whether you just want to be the best you can be or the best there ever was, we're here to keep you inspired. Conversations with today's top fitness influencers, coaches, athletes, and bodybuilding professionals. This is Inspired Fitness. Here's your host, Sean Feuderer.
Welcome back to another episode of the Inspired Fitness Podcast. I'm joined today by my co-host, IFBB Pro Kimberly Helm, along with our very special guest. She's Wisconsin Badger, Sophie Harrett. Sophie's a track and field athlete specializing in pole vault. Sophie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So we've been talking about doing this for a couple of weeks and we've had to reschedule a couple of times, but I really want to just say thanks for joining us. We have not yet spoken with someone who specializes in pole vault. So this is going to be new for us as well.
Well, I'm happy to be here and answer any questions you guys have.
Fantastic. So I guess let's just start with a little bit of your background. How in the heck did you get into pole vaulting?
So my dad is the head track and field coach for the guys and girls team at my high school. And ever since I was born, basically, I was going to practices with him, just tagging along. And starting in seventh grade, I went to the high school track practice like every single day. I would do lifts with them. I'd do sprint workouts with them. And I remember always looking at the pole vaulters and thinking, man, that just looks really fun. So starting then, I got to train a little bit with the high schoolers, which was really great. I made a lot of friends that I'm still friends with today and just kind of developed from there.
So you're in seventh grade. What are you, maybe 13 years old? And you're working out with kids in high school and you're learning how to do track and field events and pole vault. So at 13 years old, how high are you vaulting?
Back then, I was only jumping about 6 feet, 6 inches. So I've just about doubled that. I hit 12 feet my senior year of high school. So it's definitely a slow progression, which is what makes you feel a lot more comfortable with it. A lot of people see vaulters clearing like 12, 13, maybe even 15 feet if you're looking at the guys and think that that's really intimidating. But when you start out at 6 feet and you can also see high jumpers clearing that on the other side of the track, it seems a lot more manageable.
That's amazing. So I'm curious, Sophie. So when you're first learning how to do this, is this one of those things where you're doing it, where you're learning skills for weeks and weeks before you even touch the pole to actually vault over the bar? Or is it something where you just go right at it?
So our coach in high school likes us to kind of go right at it because he wants us to want to pole vault. There are so many different technical aspects that go into vaulting. So you need to want to do better. Yeah. So our coach will have us just grab a pole, hold not very high, and just run into the pit. Just get the feeling of being off the ground that makes us want to go higher and higher. And as we get more of that drive and motivation, then we want to do more of those drills and spend more time doing just a lot of little details that will help us in the long run. I mean,
so Sean, one of the folks that we wanted to interview on this podcast, which is the Age is Irrelevance podcast. And so one of my friends, Sophie, who is an IFBB pro bikini athlete, and she in her 60s decided to take up pole vaulting.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Yeah, so now she's a master's track and field athlete and she loves it.
That's great. I've seen so many people of all different ages pole vaulting. I mean, even at open meets I've gone to, I've competed against kids who are like 10 all the way up to like in their 50s still vaulting.
Really?
And like it's such a technical sport. Like you can do that, like even as you're older. I've seen a lot of like coaches from different high schools compete in meets with their kids in the summer, which is really fun to see. But because there's so much technique, like once you have those basics down, it's definitely something you can do for quite some time.
That is so cool. When you compete, is it separated by anything like age or height or anything like that?
It depends. So a lot of the summer meets I'll do are just open meets. So pretty much everyone will be thrown together. There might be like two different sections, like maybe opening height from 6 feet to 10 feet. And then if your opening height is like 10'6" and up, then you'll be in the second session. Or there's like the junior Olympic qualifying rounds where that's segregated by age. I did those all through middle school, all throughout high school. There's different levels to that.
Fabulous.
So tell me a little bit about like some of the technique that you've had to learn to actually vault yourself 12 feet in the air. I know very little about pole vaulting. What kind of insights can you give us?
I have a pole vault club I went to all throughout high school. And one of the drills we used to do is we would stand at the top of like a 15-foot ladder and just fall backwards onto a pit. And our coach would teach us to land in like a starfish position. So we'd make sure we're landing with our back flat. And we'd just do that over and over because we thought that was so fun. But like more technically speaking, some of the things that I've been working on recently were my approach, because for a lot of the time I've been in track, I've just kind of ran straight into the vault without jumping. And as you might know, pole vaulting is a jumping event. So it is really important to get that vertical height. But I did such a good job at sprinting that it carried me to being able to jump 12 feet. However, once I got to college, my coach definitely wanted me to learn how to jump up. So this summer, I did a lot of work with a long jump coach to really get a penultimate step, which is like the second to last step in the approach that really sets you up to be able to jump and helps you transition that horizontal speed into a bit of vertical height. So that is one of the things I've been working on recently. After that, my high school coach used to break down the pole vault into steps like A, B, and C. And he used to say that you can't have a good B without A. So first would be setting up my approach, the runway. And then after that, making sure that I am planting with my arm really tall. And then after that, I feel like by this point, it just kind of comes naturally just to kind of swing through. I mean, I've done a million different drills. We have in my yard, actually, I have a pole barn that I've used to work out in for a couple years now. And we have rings, so I'll do swing ups, which is really helpful for core. I have a couple other drills set up in there that have really helped develop that a bit. But it almost seems like just natural instinct to swing upside down once you have like the first couple steps. It's a lot of energy movement is how my college coach describes it. So focusing less on like, okay, I need to move my leg here. I need to move my arms here. It's a lot more, how do I get this energy moving and propelling me upward and over the bar?
I'm trying to visualize this as you're explaining it. And all I can see is myself, you know, falling backwards and landing on my head.
We've all been there too. It happens.
For sure, this trial and error is part of it, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
How much of your time is drills without actually vaulting versus actually going over and using a pole and going over a bar?
2 days a week, we have drill days in college. So we also have straight pole vaulting. So usually when you see pole vaulters vault, like if you see Mondo on Instagram or any other professional vaulter, you can see the pole bends and flings them up in the air. Yep. But what we do is we hold on to a really stiff pole, hold maybe at like 10 feet. So we're pretty far down, so the pole's not going to bend. And what this does when we vault is it forces us to put energy in all the right places. Otherwise, the pole just isn't going to move. So our goal is to move the pole to vertical and past vertical as quickly as we possibly can. And that will make us clear higher and higher bars. So just by doing that, we're getting a lot of drill work in, even though we are technically still vaulting. And we do that a ton in the off season. I mean, I didn't even get to full vaulting yet this year. We do a lot of med ball throws on our drill days. We do a lot of just running with the pole and practicing that pole drop to make sure that we are running efficiently and not letting holding a very long pole slow us down as we're on the runway. We want to make sure that that's helping us as the pole is dropping. We want that energy to be like pulling us forward versus just slowing us down. So we do a lot of work with those two things and a lot of straight pole vaulting. We even do rope vaulting. So we have like basically like a fake vault pit set up, and we have like a little crossbar and everything, and we'll swing from a rope and try to do the same vault. And it's all just practicing like getting that energy moving through efficiently.
You said earlier that a lot of stuff that you're doing is trying to build up and reinforce your core. That's a critical component. Trying to translate this into the world of fitness and working out, bodybuilding in Kim's world, what kind of things are you finding yourself doing for core? You talked about medicine ball a little bit.
Yeah, so during the fall, we do a lot of med ball throws of all different sorts. We'll do forward, backward, like basically kneeling and throwing it forward because that's a similar position as you'd be in vault. Funny enough, now that you mention it, my coach had me do 500 crunches yesterday for a part of my workout. When I was in high school, I did a lot of hanging from the bar and toe touches, and I would just do those like every single day in the weight room. Like it wouldn't be a part of our workout, but I would just constantly do those because I knew I had to get to a certain level with that. I think by now I've reached that level, and it's pretty easy for us to maintain that once you get there, but being able to get vertical with the pole takes a lot of core strength, and that is not something I had in seventh grade or eighth grade. I think it probably took me until my sophomore year of high school to really build up that strength. And actually, I started gymnastics my freshman year of high school, and that really helped me in a lot of different ways as far as strength goes.
I would imagine that you can't get too bulky muscle wise in order to have pliability in your physique while you're doing it. Do you and the team, do y'all do a lot of weight training at all, or is it really more like plyometrics type of work?
We actually do a lot of weight training. We do a lot of Olympic lifting. Yeah, I've been doing cleans for quite some time now, and I feel like I'm finally really getting the hang of that form, and it's making a lot more sense to me. I mean, it's such a hard lift to learn and teach, like, when you're young. I know I had tried that. Yeah, I tried to do cleans in high school, and I think I kind of got the basics, but definitely not as much as I do now. Lately, we've been doing a lot of hand cleans, a lot of power cleans, and then we've also been doing like back squats where we explode up after the down, and those have been really helpful. We do a lot of box jumps. So a lot of things working on being explosive are really important to us. I mean, after all, I think of pole vault as like a long jump plus some gymnastics at the end. So anything that you would need to be a good sprinter, a good jumper, are also things you need to be a good pole vaulter. Now, that being said, you also definitely need to be able to do things like pull-ups, some more like bodyweight work and push-ups. You don't really need to be able to bench like a crazy amount to be a pole vaulter. You need to have arm strength, but it's a lot more of that like pull-up strength than it would be for bench.
That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. It sounds like some training I might enjoy. A little bit of sprinting, speed training. This is a lot of performance-based training, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you do performance-based training, there's a lot of recovery aspect to that. Do you have any personal best practices for recovery after some exhaustive training?
Yeah, what I've found works best for me on days where I have more time, I mean, obviously I'm a student athlete, so sometimes I don't have as much time, but if I just finished a hard workout and I'm like, man, my legs are feeling really sore right now, I like to jog at least a 400. In high school, I do 800 meters, and then I go through a full stretching routine. And then at Wisconsin, we have recovery hot and cold tubs and a steam room and sauna. So those are really great resources for us. But I like to stretch again in the hot tub because I feel like that warms up my muscles and gives me a little bit more flexibility with that. And then I'll end in the cold tub. I had some issues with a stress fracture last year, so I feel like reducing the inflammation a little bit was definitely beneficial to me. Yeah.
Those are for recovery for post-workout?
Mm-hmm.
And pre-workout, is it more stretching? Do you do stretching before the drills, or is everything more reserved for post-recovery?
We don't do as much stretching before we warm up. We do a lot of hip mobility, and that's kind of like the stretching we do. So we'll do like four-way hip circles, and then we do like actually over hurdles, which I've really come to like. I feel like it puts my hips in alignment, a lot of the things we do as far as stretching goes.
For hurdles, oh, I dread hurdles. Oh my goodness. Those scare me so much because I know that you can just eat dirt. Whatever you miss. I know this has to be so hard, but I would not have thought about hurdles for you, but I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
I did hurdles in high school and middle school. So my freshman year, when I got my varsity letter, I got it for hurdles, not for pole vaults.
Oh, see? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was really fun for me. I did hurdles like through the Junior Olympics series. I made it to regionals, I think, 2 years in a row. So that was really fun. But I had hip issues, so I had to stick to just vaulting after that.
That's pretty incredible, though, Sophie. So as a freshman, sophomore in high school, you're at the Junior Olympic level.
Yeah, my dad's philosophy with me was actually that he wanted to train me for the hardest events so that I would have like the best chance of like being able to compete at that next level. So my freshman year of high school, I did hurdles, I did triple jump, I did the 400, and I did pole vault, which are arguably some of the more technical events and very difficult for a lot of freshmen to get into. But he just wanted me to find one that just really fit me. And it turned out I got our freshman record for pole vault at my high school. So pole vault seemed to be where my niche was. And even up until senior year, I was in the 4x4. So some of the other events were still fun to do, but I definitely found my foothold in pole vault.
That's fantastic. It has to be a pretty unique, incredible experience to have your dad as your coach for your full 4-year stint in high school. And I imagine he's still playing a pretty major role in your college experience.
Yeah, definitely. I've loved having him as a coach and a resource. Even just 2 days ago, I was looking at my workout my coach gave me, and I was like, Dad, I don't know what this is. And he's like, oh, you just got to bound like this, and just showed me in our hallway. So that's been great. Anytime we've had like an off season, like he's been able to write workouts for me if I need anything. He's been a great resource as far as like, hey, Dad, I'm not feeling great today. My hip flexors are sore. Should I be doing this workout or should I supplement it with something else? In high school, he spent so much time with me outside of just coaching hours, which was really great. He'd use the last period of high school to take me into our gym and do roll out this huge runway so we could do pull runs, and he'd video them for me. And I remember I even asked my physics teacher to download an app that would track like the speed of my pole dropping to make sure that, like, physically speaking, I was doing that correct. And he, like, without a complaint, would videotape all of my runs for me. He would take me to my club by myself and just work on anything I needed to. So he's been super supportive. That's been great.
Fantastic. See, if I had kids, I would be, I don't even know your dad, and I like him very much. I have a lot of respect for him, because it is, and for you, Sophie, to have somebody who has an intimate relationship with you, who's a family member, and then spend that much time in something that is at some point going to have frustration, you know, when you're training and when you're learning things, to be able to still have a very mature relationship through that and to respect each other at the end of the day is such an, it speaks so much for both of you. Really, I think it's so impressive.
Oh yeah. And I mean, obviously it's definitely not been easy. There have been times where he's been my coach at a lot of off-season meets. And there are times where he's come up to me and he's been like, "You're freaking out. You need to calm down." And I'm like, yeah, "I'm freaking out. Like, this is the last thing I need to hear, Dad. Like, don't tell me I'm freaking out. Now I'm realizing I'm freaking out." So there's definitely been some learning that has taken place.
Sure.
We work really well together, and yeah, it's been fun.
That's so cool. And what amazing memories for the family. Like, that's just really cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I have a picture of him coaching me at Outdoor Nationals my senior year of high school. It was at Oregon, like the stadium, Hayward Field, which is just incredible. But on that day, we had like 5 rain delays during the meet. So we would warm up and they'd be like, "Okay, there's rain, like you can't vault, it's dangerous." So they'd bring us inside, and then we'd warm up again and they would bring us back inside. And then maybe 2 girls would get a chance at a bar. So it was just a really frustrating day, but yeah, I was really happy to have him there. And we got one picture of us like looking at like the video together, like, "Ooh, did you see that?" And I put it on a t-shirt for him for Christmas this year as like a number one fan t-shirt.
Oh, I love that. That's yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. You finish high school. This has to be a kind of a extraordinarily emotional thing for you. You're leaving this 4-year stint, you know, you're moving into this new college experience. What kind of toll did that take on you?
It's definitely a different experience, but I was lucky enough to have a lot of people on my team I already knew. So Julia Moore, she's one of my teammates. She was my teammate in high school. There are 2 other kids on my team, or no, 3 other kids on my team, actually, that vaulted at the same club I did. And I have known my pole vault coach since I was in 7th grade and going to coaching clinics with my dad. So it didn't really feel like as much of a change as it probably would have for other people. And I remember, like, in the fall, my freshman year, I'd call my dad every day after practice. Like, I'd give him the rundown on what we were doing. So I didn't necessarily feel like as disconnected from him, you know, as because I was just keeping up with everything with him. And even now, yeah, last year, we had another kid from my high school, another pole vaulter, joined my team. So now we have 3 pole vaulters from Arrowhead, all on the Wisconsin track team. So it feels like high school all over again. It's great.
So it sounds like you've just had this ecosystem that you've been working within all the way back to the 7th grade. It's just following you right through your college experience. That's got to be incredible. I imagine there's not a whole lot of athletes out there that have that type of experience. So you chose Wisconsin for this reason, to kind of stay within that ecosystem. You had a relationship with the coach. You felt comfortable.
Yeah, with my dad as well. The schools I was down to were Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And actually, my dad ran a year of track at Milwaukee before he went to lacrosse. So he knew the head coach there, which was kind of funny. And I actually knew another vaulter that was on the team there. So it was like there was one vaulter that I had vaulted with in high school at Milwaukee and one at Wisconsin. So I knew I'd have friends no matter where I went. So that was nice. But one, I liked the school, Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is a great school, and they had a lot of options for different majors and programs that are very highly ranked. So I really liked that. I really liked my coach. I thought he is extremely knowledgeable, and there's so many different resources you have at Wisconsin, just in every aspect. One example is we have a nutritionist, which I've met with like multiple different times. I thought that would be great for me to have, because I kind of knew what I should be eating in high school, but I didn't really have like the best idea. even we have like a lunch every day at Camp Randall for athletes. So it's been great just to have that food there. All of the recovery things we've had, just having like an indoor football field that we can use for training is great. I mean, even just thinking about not having as much pounding when you're running, that's a great resource to have. Yeah. So all of those things kind of combined, and I felt like Wisconsin was the best choice for me.
Yeah. I mean, Kim, what do you think about having a nutritionist as a college student athlete?
It's amazing. And I wish more schools put more time and dedication and money into it, because the nutrition aspect in any sport, I mean, in anything, it will take you from mediocre to advanced if you can get your nutrition down. And especially, I mean, because Sophie, you've been an athlete for so long. You know, you were fortunate that you had your dad to help you get into it when you were younger. But your body, you know, especially for women, your body changes so much during that time frame. And your nutrition has to be adjusted as you go with that change. So, you know, if you have somebody really paying attention to the nutrition and adjusting it as you grow, as your metabolism changes, as your body grows, I think that would just set you at a different level.
Definitely. I've talked to our nutritionist a couple times this year, actually, and he's also been really helpful for when I've been sick and trying to recover from that, which isn't something I would have even considered before, but that's been really helpful. And one of the things we had talked about was like eating more carbs, like just a little bit through each of our meals, just to be more energy, which was really helpful to me. And he just like laid out like a whole map of like the times I would eat during the day, what I'm eating, and like where I can add just a little bit each time.
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of soccer athletes, and it doesn't matter which type of sport you do, because every person is different. Every person's body is different, and how you absorb, you know, how much fat, healthy fat versus protein versus carbs, it changes for each individual person and how much time you spend on the field. So I'm curious, does your nutritionist have a lot of interaction with your coach? Do they talk a lot as far as how much time you're spending training, what type of training you're doing?
He asks us those questions when we request to have meetings with him. I don't know if he talks with our coach a ton, but I mean, I've gotten nutrition advice from my coach, from my doctors at Camp Randall, and from our nutritionist. So I feel like they all have a good amount of knowledge about that.
That's excellent. That's so good to hear. I'm so glad to hear that people are really putting time and resources into it.
Definitely.
I'm curious what kind of nutrition advice they're giving, besides, you know, just adding in some carbs for energy. Do you have a specific plan that you're
like how many meals and what that constitutes, you mean?
Yeah, not just so much. I mean, is it, you know, a macro-based plan? Are you taking in a set amount of proteins, and you know, what kind of adjustments are being made? I'm just really curious, right? Because you've talked a lot about the types of training, the sprints, the explosive training, right? These are things that eat not only energy, but they can eat away at muscle mass, right? If you're not replenishing at an appropriate rate, right? So you've got to eat for that. I'm just curious what they've got you on or what kind of plan, if any, you're following.
Yeah. So the most important thing that I've been told is trying to get 30 grams of protein, I think within half an hour after a workout. So if I have any goal related to food, it's that, just making sure I go into, we have like a snack room at Madison, so you can get like beef jerky strips or hard boiled eggs or protein shakes. So it's really amazing to have that resource there, because it's really easy to get protein in after a lift or after a sprint workout. So that's the number one goal. I think ideally I would have 30 grams of protein 3 times a day. So like breakfast, like right after a lift or workout or something, because that'll be like around lunchtime, and then again at dinner. So protein is definitely the main goal of our nutrition planning. My doctor had told me that protein's my first goal, making sure to get in a fruit or a vegetable, actually. I thought it was interesting that he said four. And after that, he said, if I'm still hungry, then carbs can fill in the rest, and that'll be a good source of energy for me. But just making sure protein is the number one goal has been really important.
I'm loving hearing that, Sophie, and you're ahead of most humans, really and truly, for knowing that, because even for the non-athletes out there, that should be the main go-to rule, is protein first. You know, like I tell a lot of the folks that I work with, my clients and things, all the time, if you're not sure what to eat, get your protein first. And that really is just like the easiest rule that you can go with, but it's so crucial. It's good to hear.
Definitely.
And those are all the snacks that you mentioned, the beef jerky, the hard-boiled eggs, protein. That's, I could just come and live there. I'll come there and train with you just for fun. I would love that. That would be so much fun.
That'd be great.
That sounds like my kitchen. That's perfect. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna see Kim on Epic Fail when she tries to pole vault.
I'll try anything. I love it. It's so, life is amazing. Do as much as you can. I think it's great.
The only other thing, right, that we really haven't talked about is mental fortitude. Athletes are only as good as what they tell themselves. I'm a firm believer in this, right? The stories that you tell yourself are going to dictate how well you perform. Going into a meet, you know, going into an event, heck, going in even to the junior nationals, you know, you mentioned your dad was telling you you were freaking out at one event because your inner thoughts, right? Your inner voice, you're telling yourself something. I'm going to screw it up, you know, and if you're telling yourself you're going to screw it up, well, odds are you're going to screw it up. What kind of things have you been taught, whether it's by your dad or coach or, you know, clinicians who put on these, you know, these great clinics? What advice, what habits, what rituals have you gotten into as a student athlete that you tell yourself in advance of these events?
I have talked to multiple different sports psychologists throughout high school and throughout college. And we've worked on different things such as mental imagery. So visualizing myself clearing the bar or even just in warmups, like finishing my jump before it happens. But I've found that the most important thing for me is taking some time just to myself and kind of resetting my mind. This really makes me think of a meet I was at this past summer. It was quite possibly the most sketchy pole vault pit I have ever seen in my life. There was concrete on the front, like right in front of the pole vault pit on either side of the runway. And I know that there's a lot of the time where I don't make it into the pit and I land right there. And I was like, I am going to break my ankle if you guys don't put a mat down. So they put down like the thinnest mat. It was probably less than an inch thick. I went through warmups. I was on my smallest pole I brought to the meet and I just couldn't trust myself to know that I was going to get into the pit. And I just kept trying and trying and trying. And after maybe like an hour or so of warmups, I was like, all right, I will figure it out when the bar goes up. And I took some time. I took my pole, put it to the side, took off my spikes. I took my headphones and went to go sit down. And I listened to a playlist of songs that I've been running to since like eighth grade. So these are songs that always just get me in like the right mental space to perform. And I just sat there by myself. I collected my thoughts. I thought, you can do this. You've had bad warmups before and you've PR'd at meets where you haven't taken a single jump up. Like, I know that I don't need to have a good warmup to have a good meet. And just really taking the time to set myself up for success mentally has made the biggest impact for me. I think that visualization can definitely be helpful. I think that for me, that has been more helpful in advance, though. So maybe like a couple of days before the meet, I'm picturing, all right, I'm going to start on this pole. I'm going to take one jump from my four step, one from my five, one from my six. So just kind of running through what I want the meet to go like has been helpful for me leading up to the meet. But once I'm actually there, I think just being able to like take a break, like just breathe, in and out and just really lock in mentally to myself has really helped me.
I think that's wonderful. I'm thinking back, Kim, to one of the interviews we had where we talked a lot about visualization and right, just developing the right mindset to go into this. Do you have recollection of that with Laura?
I do. We talked to a couple of people that I've mentioned visualization. It sounds like it's quite standard in certain forms of training and sports now where they're really starting to introduce this more and more. We've also heard that from an Olympic athlete as well. You know, that visualization is literally part of the training regimen. It's interesting that you said that it works better for you to do more in advance versus day of. You know, it's something that you use more as a preparatory step, right?
Yes, definitely. And another aspect with that, my coach has sent us videos like of Olympians and other athletes that he thinks have perfected the vault form. So one thing I'll do is I will visualize them going through the motions and just look at like how their form is different than mine and try to visualize myself doing what they're doing in those videos. So in that way, visualization has been really helpful for me. But when you're in a meet setting and you're about to go over the bar and you're just standing on the runway waiting to go, sometimes it's really hard to visualize yourself like succeeding. Like sometimes I'll try to visualize myself clearing the bar and just something keeps going wrong in my mind. And that's when I know to clear my mind completely of everything and just know that I can trust myself.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that because I was just about to ask if you do any what I call film study where you watch, you know, other people who are really good at it. We do that a lot in bodybuilding. And as a coach in that world, I watch all the elite in all the different categories and watch what they do, how they do it. you know, what they do for preparatory steps, because I want to learn from it and I like to see what's successful for different people. So it's interesting that you said that. I think that we've talked to a couple of people who do the same, right, Sean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, even I do it, right? Yeah. I'm not a professional athlete, but, you know, I'll visualize what it is I want to achieve and try to set out to go do that. I think it's a great habit to have even in, you know, our day-to-day lives, yeah. Even business people.
I've looked at so much film for so many different things. Even when I'm trying to learn how to hang clean, I've looked at videos of other athletes I know that are cleaning a lot more than I am and tried to see like how their form is different. In high school, I would send videos back and forth to my other pole vault friends. We actually had an article written about our school about being the pole vault U, because we had, my junior year, we had a lot of talented athletes. We had guy jump 16, one jump 15.7, a girl jump like 12.9, and then me at 11.6 and another girl at 11. So we just had a crazy stacked team, but it was really awesome to be able to look at each other's videos and give each other feedback and just help each other. Pole vaulters are really, they really want to help each other. It's so fun seeing someone that has potential and just thinking like, oh, if you just jumped up a little bit more, you'd be able to clear the next bar. So I have friends that are pole vaulters from all over the state, really. So that's been really fun just to watch each other grow. And like, we have a group chat where we'll send each other our videos, like even now as we're all college vaulters, and just analyze and try to help.
Yeah, that is one really positive asset that we get from technology the way it is now, is that if you want to learn something or if you want to get better at something, there is no lack of data or video out there. You can certainly do that as long as you have the ability to apply it, right? As long as you can actually get out there and test it and see what works for you and what doesn't.
So actually, that reminds me, during COVID, a lot of pole vaulting coaches just from around the world that are just really specialists, they put together a series of videos about like learning how to pole vault. It's different things, like from teaching beginners how to pole vault versus like improving different aspects of the vault. And me and my dad had found one coach that we really liked. His name was Tim Riley. And we really liked how he taught kids how to vault, and we had followed him on Instagram and we knew he was a really successful coach. He's coached, I think, 4 high school girls over 14 feet, which is crazy impressive. Wow. But after we found him through those YouTube videos, we went out to Washington and I got to train with him for a couple of days. Wow. And he was actually, he was able to help coach me at some meets my senior year of high school. I had a meet in Reno, Nevada. I had indoor nationals and outdoor nationals, and he was there for all of those. So it was really cool to have that resource.
And good for your dad for being open-minded, that he's open to you getting with other people as well, so that you get all types of information and all types of input.
I couldn't even count how many coaches I've had for different things. I mean, I've probably had like 20 different vault coaches at least throughout my time. I think like every vault coach just wants to help every kid reach their potential. Like, it's great to see. And I mean, I've also had a coach help me with long jump. Obviously, I've had my dad help me with sprints along with other coaches. So just anywhere I can get new input is just great to hear.
Sophie, you got 2 more years of college, 2 more years of hard competition. Does this go on beyond that for you?
I'm not sure yet. I think right now I've been focusing less on long-term goals. Like, I don't have a set height I want to achieve this year, but I'm more so trying to put together the little pieces that will get me there. So one of my goals in this offseason was tying my hang clean PR and then improving further from that. And since I haven't yet gotten to full vaulting, I don't really have an idea of what I'll be able to do yet this year, but I'll be getting back to that in the next coming weeks. So I'm excited to see that. But I've been really working on improving myself in all of the little technical aspects. And this spring is going to be seeing where those land me.
Well, I'll be watching. Well, we're connected on social media. I'll keep track of kind of where you're going with this.
Do you find that with all the different, because you mentioned, Sophie, that you had all these different coaches at different points in your life, right? Do you find yourself kind of coaching other people a little bit or do you find that kind of comes naturally for you?
Oh yeah. So obviously I said my dad is a high school track coach. He has run track camp at our high school every summer. And even when I was in 5th grade, I would be coaching the little kids there. So I've always been able to coach at a younger level. Last summer, I started like a pole vault club at my house. I have a pole vault pit in our old pole barn. So I was able to coach kids that way. So that's always been really fun for me. And like I said, I always love looking at my friends and their videos and trying to help them. Even with like sprinting advice, like I'll just try to see anything that I can.
Yeah, just the time that we've spent on this call, your personality really is, it's so pleasant, and you have this great determination. I think you have a great attitude. I can totally see you getting into the coaching scene, just for whatever it's worth.
Thank you.
Is there anything, Sophie, that you'd like to cover that we haven't already?
I guess that last comment made me remember, actually. So I've been going to the Wisconsin Track Coaches Clinic with my dad every year since seventh grade. So I really consider myself a student of the sport, which I think is really important for pole vaulting. I have listened to clinicians talk about recovery, talk about lifting, talk about hurdles, sprinting, and obviously pole vault. So that has been a great resource. I think learning as much as I can about my event has gotten me to be able to be an athlete at Wisconsin. And I think that's just so important when you're in such a technical event.
You know, and it's a good habit, a good practice to have for everything in life, right? Become a student of whatever it is that you're interested in. The more you know about it, the better you can be at it. If you're studying the technical aspects of it and being able to apply those, that's a fantastic trait to have in general.
The reason why it comes to mind with the coaching for you is that, you know, you've had this exposure for such a long period of time and you're still very young. You know, you got into the sports scene and you started going to these coaching clinics with your dad. And so you've been exposed to this over such a longer period of time than most people would. Most people wouldn't start thinking about stuff like that or get exposed to it till later in life. So, you know, it sounds like it's a natural niche for you. I mean, it just comes across with your personality. So I think you have a lot of avenues that you can pick. You know, you have a lot of paths that you can choose to whatever your heart desires. So it's really nice when you have that flexibility and you don't have to pick just one. And I do actually have one more question that we didn't talk about, and I won't take too long with it, but I'm curious, the poles that y'all use, is it custom to each person? Are there certain ones that, like, you take your own pole with you everywhere you go that you get used to?
I definitely had that in high school where I was a lot more comfortable with the poles from my school. There are different brands of poles that behave a little bit differently because they bend at like a different set point. It's definitely difficult to compare different brands, so it's a lot easier to stick with the same ones. And then each pole is, as you go up, like trying to clear higher heights, you will be on a longer pole, you'll be on a stiffer pole. So there's a lot of variation that goes with that. So typically you will want to be on the same poles from meet to meet just to have some consistency there.
Gotcha.
Well, Sophie, really inspiring story. Loved hearing about it. I feel a little more educated about pole vaulting in general. I am dead anxious to see Kim try this.
I will totally do that. I mean, it might not be pretty, but I will totally, if I do that, I'll totally send you a video, Sophie, just so you can Lovely. Have some laughs.
Can't wait. About it, probably.
Well, you're going to have to practice landing like a starfish because it doesn't, what we learned in martial arts doesn't translate.
I thought that too, because when I was thinking about break falling and things like that in jiu-jitsu, everything is absolutely do not land flat. So when you said that, it was surprising to me that that's what y'all learned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Join us again next time for the Inspired Fitness Podcast. Until then, we wish you a healthy mind, a healthy body, and healthy habits. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Inspired Fitness, leading you to a healthy mind, healthy body, and healthy habits. To stay inspired, visit us at inspiredfitness.net. That's INSPIRD.net. Until next time, stay inspired.